Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You gotta find what works for you. Find a valley that lets you be you.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. And it is a great Wednesday evening here in Central Kentucky for episode number 370. And starting off the show tonight is yours truly, Stephen Zimmer. Joining me shortly in the co-hosting chair is the wonderful, the amazing, the vivacious Holly Phillippe. So she'll just have to join us in progress. It's been another very, very busy day on our end. But don't worry, we got a big show for you tonight. Very excited about it. We got a really fun guest. That gets into the entertainment side of the Imaginarium Convention, and of course, that's going to be a lot of fun when we get to talk about all that, and the chat room is open and working, and yes, we got our first guest in the chat room already. We have Amy Lee McCorkle, award-winning filmmaker and author, and then we also have the amazing Carol Preflatish, author, and now we can say it, screenwriter. Yes, the author of the great Nathan Perry Mysteries, and looking forward to seeing Carol in person soon. Have missed her quite a bit, and hope her cat is enjoying tonight's show as well. Yes, her cat is one of our feline listeners to the Star Chamber Show. Yeah, we have a few of those, actually, and sometimes co-hosts, too, but it's been it's just been a busy week. We got so much going on. How we talked last week. Oh, with the press, you know, we just got Lawrence Wild's new book, Pan and the Message Share, just came out. And the next 2 days, we have not one, but two cover reveals happening. One for a new novel from Janie Frantz. And as if that's not enough, on Friday, yes, we have one from the one and only Stephen L. Shrewsbury. So, yeah, we got a lot that we've been prepping for on that end, to say the least. And somehow I'm keeping up with it. And also, you know, with the full-time writing schedule and all the editing work and all the Imaginarium work. And yes, the word vacation is a foreign concept at this point. But yeah, we've got some very good news, and I'm going to go ahead and run down some wonderful news to you tonight. It's going to be great. The news that I got to share with you, several things since last week. And last week, of course, we told you all about a bunch of new stuff that had just come out as far as the everything goes, so as far as 12 new panels. But since then, we've added some more programming, and I'm going to tell you about that. Also added a new sponsor and some more things. So let me go ahead and run down the updates to Imaginarium 2023. Before we get into recognizing those that brought you tonight's show, and also as we work toward the amazing guests that we have in store for you tonight. So, what do we got for you coming up that's just been added to Imaginarium? Well, it's a networking event. And this year, we've added some wonderful networking sessions that are coming in the form of some really fun, relaxed stuff that we're doing in conjunction with the fine folks at Three Ravens Publishing. And you caught William Joseph Roberts not too long ago on the show, so be sure to catch that either on our YouTube channel or on the Blog Talk Radio archive. Check that show out. Great, great writing and publishing advice from William on that. But yes, he will be hosting the whole Three Ravens Publishing team. We'll be hosting not one, but two coffee clutches. There'll be one held on Saturday morning at 8 a.m. and another one on Sunday at 8 a.m. as well. Two coffee clutches to kick off the day hosted by Three Ravens Publishing. And then they are also hosting what we are calling, this is the inaugural Hillbilly Court BarCon, and that's going to be hosted by Three Ravens Publishing on Saturday, July 15th at 8:30 p.m., so just after the awards banquet, kind of in that zone when the costume contest is getting underway and we're getting ready for the big ball and all that. Yes, it's going to be another great social being held by them to help everybody get in some good networking before the night gets fully underway. And then we also added a special podcast event with the man himself, John Pica, and that will be a Back of the Cereal Box Live podcast, and that will be hosted as well the weekend. So, yeah, we've got some great networking events and a live podcast. And there's Holly. There's Holly. Bringing Holly aboard right now. Holly, we got you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, we got Holly. We got Holly. I'm just running down the updates on Imaginarium here, giving them the good news. And on the subject of programming, we also added in a stellar new workshop. Those of you that are interested in film fundraising or fundraising for TV and film projects, you do not want to miss this. Josiah Stendell, who over the past decade has worked on breakout TV hits like Chosen. He's also done many commercials for Fortune 500 brands and also worked with some of the highest performing YouTube channels of all time. Just a brilliant filmmaker and editor. He is going to be hosting a workshop called The Life-Changing Film Funding Secret, and he's got a concept called Film Fuel. This workshop alone is reason to come to Imaginarium. I mean, the value you get just from this single workshop alone makes the entire Imaginarium event ticket more than worth it. I mean, this is going to be a gem. And, yeah, Amy, if you're listening, yeah, this is one you do not want to miss because you're going to get some really major league insights on building a financing operation for independent film and TV. And so that's going to be part of the great film-related programming that we have at Imaginarium. And then we also welcomed the one and only Red Bull as an official sponsor. They will be coming to us on both Saturday and Sunday, their teams. You'll see the cool vehicle. You'll see the Red Bull team. They'll be handing out a lot of product all around the convention. And we're going to have a lot of Red Bulls at the registration desk for you, complimentary until, of course, they all run out. But we are getting quite a lot of it. So it will take a little while for it to run out, but we will have complimentary Red Bulls available for everybody at the registration desk. Very excited to have Red Bull with us. I drink it regularly. I love Red Bull, so that was pretty exciting. And so then we'll move on real quick to today's announcement. We announced two brand new panelists, Yvette Keller, who is an author and audiobook narrator, and also Megan Daly, who is a screenwriter, actor, and filmmaker. So we got two brand new panelists that have just come aboard. Adding to that list, it's over 175 strong in terms of spotlighted guests and panelists for this year, and just amazing, amazing guest list. Now, last but not least, I saved this one for the end, but yesterday we announced the finalist for the second annual Michael Nost Wings Award. Yes, an awesome award that was debuted last year to reflect the enthusiastic dedication and support of the writing community given by the person that this award is named after, the one and only Michael Nost. It focuses on authors of speculative fiction or dark fiction, specifically authors who are up and coming or those who have been around a while but do not get the recognition that they deserve. And this year's nominees, finalists, and this is in alphabetical order, drum roll. There's five of them, and one is in the chat room, as a matter of fact. John F. Allen, Anton Kentry, Elizabeth Donald, Sandy Lender, and Tommy B. Smith. So, yes, congratulations to all the finalists for the 2023 Michael Nost Wings Award. Yes, we're going to be presenting that. I'm thinking that since Red Bull gives you wings, I've been joking with Holly, we got to find a way to get one of the Red Bull reps to help out for that award, like maybe hold the trophy for Michael Nost when he's presenting it, because that would be so cool, because it's the Wings Award, and of course Red Bull gives you wings, so perfect segue for that. That could be a lot of fun. So that's the updates from my end. I should mention, though, however, that the expo is now sold out. We no longer have any space left in either the expo hall or Creative's Alley. And as of tonight, the awards banquet dinner tickets are also sold out. So everything there is sold out. Of course, you can still get event tickets, of course. Save by getting them in advance. Save on the walk-up rate to go up a little more on the day of at the venue. So you want to get them in advance. Single and full weekend passes are available for Imaginarium. So that's the news. Quite a lot there. Holly, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
No, I don't believe so.
Don't believe so? That's okay. That's it. Yeah, just checking in. I went through all those updates there, looking through here. And,
that's a lot.
Yes. Got a good bunch here. We have a good bunch here, you know, in the chat room now. Yeah, we've got a few more that are popping in there. And so, yes, I'm going to go ahead and we'll go ahead and recognize the folks that brought you tonight's show. So, of course, one and only Sandy Lender, the Genre Blender. And she's got a brand new spot. Also joining us tonight, bringing you the show, are the fine folks from Per Bostet Publications, who you will be able to see, of course, at Imaginarium, Teely Harris, Marion Allen, Sarah Marion. So very appreciative to all of them. Thank you for constant support of the Star Chamber show. Yes, it's been a really good run of shows lately, and we really appreciate you making it possible. So first, Sandy Lender with a new spot.
Prophecy stirring in the land of Unveiled. Dragons are rising, and an unclean army marches toward one young woman who holds the fate of the world in her hands. Amanda Cherise may be considered a chosen one, but she exercises free will in Sandy Lender's epic fantasy series, coming soon from 7th Star Press. Subscribe to Sandy's newsletter for updates and news breaks at sandylender.com.
Thank you, Sandy. That's awesome new spot. Love it. Love it very much. And so, yes, definitely look forward to that, the Choice Trilogy being reissued just in time for Imaginarium. So hold that thought, because, yes, there's going to be a series of cover reveals and, yes, three new books coming out from Sandy right in time for Imaginarium. So, yeah, a lot going on. Yeah, like I said, yeah, even under the surface, there is a lot going on here. So now I'll go over and recognize Per Bostet Publications. Per Bostet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With over 40 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bostet offers a little bit of everything. Follow the investigations of Private Eye, David Blaze, and M.B. Dabney's An Untidy Affair, a historical mystery set during the 1985 police bombing of the Move House in Philadelphia. Or join the psychic private investigator Alan Rodriguez in New Mexico in A Handful of Dirt by Janie Franz as he tries to clear an elderly man wrongfully accused of murder. Find these titles and more at PerBostetPublications.com at Amazon, or you can find the press in person at In Conjunction in Indianapolis and Louisville's Imaginarium Convention in July and Prime Crime in Indianapolis in October. Per Bostet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. So thank you very much, everybody, Per Bostet. And both of the authors mentioned in that spot will be there in person at Imaginarium, Janie Franz and M.B. Dabney. They're both just awesome, awesome people. Can't wait to see them again. Yeah, so many wonderful people looking forward to catching up with. So, yes, Holly, that was a lot of updates. So, yeah, we ran almost right up to the guest time here. So it's been busy to say the least. But, yeah, tonight's guest, it's going to be fun. And it's a show favorite, somebody that we both love quite a lot. And, yeah, kind of like Ren Melian, you know, like one of our favorite people as well. Another a Renaissance person, yeah, who excels at multiple levels and of art, multiple areas of art. So yeah, and so the entertainment at Imaginarium, you know, is always one of the highlights, and this is definitely somebody that's at the center of it, and one of the fun ones in the expo hall too. So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. But yeah, thank you very much, folks, for checking all this out. Thank you for listening. Yeah, please pass the word about Imaginarium out there, about the Star Chamber show. We do have sites for both on Twitter, on Facebook, and so under Star Chamber Show is the handle on both Facebook and Twitter. And Imaginarium, it's Imaginarium Con on Twitter, and it's Imaginarium Convention on Facebook, and also Imaginarium Convention on Instagram. So, you know, if you're not following us on those sites, please do so already, and spread the word, share our stuff around, because yes, now it's almost time to begin the big push toward the convention and all that. So yeah, we appreciate any help we might be able to get from you guys. So looking at what do we got going on in the chat room, Holly, as we wait for tonight's guest to call in. So you got
I don't know, I'm moving over there. I'm in the midst of handling something, but I will head over.
I'm just wondering, if we got something in there, because I was just checking on
a couple
little details.
No, I'm doing some different things right now.
I know.
I'm going over.
Okay, looks like Amy's got some news here. She's putting together the pitch deck together for the Letters to Daniel series for the Taken Network, who are producing and distributing. That's awesome. Good news. Good news there, Amy. Congratulations. And yes, Amy, the film festival is coming. It is just taking a little longer because we had a record number of submissions. It's had a lot, folks. So it's just taking up because, we want to get everybody a fair evaluation. We don't want to rush anything. And there's just simply a lot because we ended up getting a big burst in our late deadline period as well. And it's cool because I can say, we definitely got a lot of international submissions this year. I got some from all over the place, Brazil, India, Australia, all around. So, yeah, it's truly a very very high-quality international all-genre film festival, and we're looking forward to giving it the best presentation possible. So, yeah, definitely looking forward to that. And looking up here, some more news. Yes,
the moon's in there.
What's that?
The moon is in the chat room.
Yes, the moon unscathed is in the chat room. That is awesome. Yeah, I love it when we get new people that haven't seen a while the chat room drop in. Yeah, we've definitely got some great regulars in there, and always great to see some folks in there that we haven't seen in a little bit. Yeah, definitely. It waves. I would wave, but it's an audio podcast, so you wouldn't see it. So
we're pretending.
We're pretending.
Miss Carol Prepilich is hanging out too.
Yes. Yeah, she is. And I'm looking forward to definitely some great things from her. I was so happy to see that she completed her first adaptation. Homecoming to Murder, her first novel in Nathan Perry Mysteries. She had they set out on the journey of adapting it and completed it. And so, she's got a screenplay adaptation of that. And in my opinion, I served as an editor on that project. And it's a fantastic book. It's very linear, follows the main protagonist. And so I think it will, would make a very, very good translation because, it's always tough to bring everything from a book into a movie. But I definitely think that's a good one. That's a really good one. For adaptation. It's a good one. So, but it looks like our guest is on deck, and I am excited because our guest is a spotlighted guest at Imaginarium 2023. And just to list a few of this guest's credentials: artist, musician, filmmaker, actor, poet, and podcaster. Been a professional musician for 21 years and the founder and frontman of three successful independent heavy metal and hard rock bands. And during that time, he's released no less than 8 albums with more ahead. Also, he's been a working actor and active in film production since 2011 and has just been doing so many things in that realm, everything from sound design, post audio, score writing, grip work as well. And currently, he has just gotten a new film company off the ground. And also has a new poetry book that he is a major part of just ahead. And by now, you figured it out. The one, the only, Jason William Allen. And your mic is live. There you go. It's tough to get that full introduction because you do so much.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
There he is.
What's up?
He's in the house.
Now I can hear you. I had a little trouble at first, but I can hear you now. Welcome.
There you go.
Long...
I miss you guys.
I had some fun earlier.
You.
I told Jay, I said, he was like, remind me of the call number tonight. I said, well, I want to make it fun. You'll have to guess it. I gave it to him. I did give it to him, folks. I wasn't that mean. But.
I can't remember my own phone number, so there we go.
Yeah. There you go.
What's going on? You all geared up for the big event?
we're in the trenches right now. It's just massive amounts of detail and web updates and spreadsheets. We look at spreadsheets a lot, promotions. It's you know how it goes. It's crazy, but you've got a lot going on too, getting ready here, because I want you to talk about a few of these cool things that are going on your end. Like, since we last talked to you, you just launched a film production company. So let's start off tonight's show with introducing folks to your new project.
It was kind of like it kind of just happened. It was one of those things. Me and my producer at American Recording Company, we've always dabbled in film and the audio side of things and score writing and stuff like that. And we've always, for probably a decade now, been talking about, you know, we've got to get in the film. We've got to start embracing the film side of, because what we've always wanted to do there at ARC Studios is kind of be a multimedia thing. And Dwan Hearn, the moon, the great moon man,
yes.
That's a friend of mine. Yeah,
he's in the chat room. He's in the chat room, so he's listening.
he started writing scripts, and me and him, of course, I try to push him to get stuff out, and I really want to see him really embrace it. He's definitely a great up-and-coming writer, and he has such a passion for it. So I was like, you know what? Write a script. Get something for us to shoot to see if we can even do it. And so he did, and the movie's called Screenshots, and it was kind of like a little passion, just for fun project. Very small cast, crew, did it bare bones, and we had a good time doing it. We got a lot of great shots. It ended up being very, very Alfred Hitchcockish, which
nice.
Is my director. So came with a lot of those weird shots that he would do, and so it's an artistic film. It's pretty great. My girlfriend acted in it, and she got to kill me, so she's happy. spoiler alert. But, man, it was a good time, and we came up with, my passion is doing, like, horror films and thrillers and stuff like that, so we came up with Hallowed Hills Entertainment. So it's ARC Studios partnered up with mine and DeWan's thing, which is Night Raven Productions, to come together with Hallowed Hills Entertainment, start kind of doing some films, some shorts. We'll eventually work our way into features. And if everything goes well with this one, like I said, this was a test run. But like I said, we had a good time working together, and we got some really cool shots, and it looks great. We're also doing a horror movie podcast that hopefully we'll get one recorded probably by the end of the month. I think that's what we're shooting for, to release it in July. Also, the podcast, which is called The Rock and Roll Horror Show, it's a video podcast, I guess that's what you call it, for YouTube. And we're actually going to, well, with your all's permission, we're going to come to Imaginarium and try to get some footage of Imaginarium and kind of piece together a big montage of The Rock and Roll Horror Show at Imaginarium.
Absolutely.
So,
fun.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
You got it.
Anything about you guys, and we'll try to just get the best stuff, you know, some of the behind the scenes of just this really great event that's going on. Gives us content for our YouTube page and gives you all a lot of good promotion for your thing too. So yeah, hitting the podcast world is really weird. But anyway, it's basically what we're doing is with the Rock and Roll Horror Show, it's kind of based around like just discussing horror movies that we love and enjoy and breaking them down, do the backstory and stuff like that. But we're also going to do some on location stuff. We're going to hit conventions. We're going to hit local shops, and macabre places, anything that kind of covers the realm of horror, goth, rock and roll, heavy metal, all the stuff that we're all into. So I'm really
nice.
Looking forward to the podcast. So.
That sounds so awesome. So awesome. And yeah.
Steph and me are actually working on my girlfriend, Steph. We're going to bring back the old Facebook show, Life as I Show It, but we're calling it Life as We Show It. So it's going to be literally
nice.
Us doing it with a dog and lots of dogs, lots of dog stuff. And having
cool.
a good time with that. There's a lot of really cool things in the work that we're playing around with.
The Facebook shows were so fun because you guys went on, you know, you went on, you know, all the time, and Steve went on, and Hirsch, I used to make dinner listening to Herschel sing Frank Sinatra tunes, and I mean, it was just so much fun.
That was the only good thing that happened in 2020 was, like, we had this
yes.
little network for, like, a month or
That's
two.
That's about it.
Just all this going on.
Right?
There was one guy in the chat for the my live show, and he comes on. Is it pretty bad that I know it's 10 o'clock at night when you go on? I was like, that means you're waiting on me. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly
time,
right. I
waited
something. To make dinner so Herschel went on, you know, because I enjoyed making dinner while I was dancing to Herschel's singing. So, yeah, it was great. It was always entertaining. And, yeah, I hopped on. I'd see that you hopped on, you know, and I'd be laying in bed and be hopping on in the comments and,
It was cool to see a community of people band together to actually do something creative and something for other people's
right.
enjoyment when we were in like a time of just being locked in our homes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So
right,
that was mm-hmm.
right.
Yeah, we
yeah,
were bringing some
time.
Smiles and stuff to people's faces, you know, and giving them something to do because Lord knows we were all just kind of sitting in a daze. That's what I said. I didn't get my garage cleaned out. I didn't, you know, and I look back and I think, my God, we had a whole year where, hell, I should have had the whole house painted and everything else by then. But we wasn't in that mindset. You know, we were all just kind of in a fog and walking around like a bunch of zombies and, you know, pinned up in our house. So we had Facebook. Thank God we had, you know, social media. To
yeah,
where we
yeah,
could reach out.
A million years, I would say, man, I'm glad we had social media around that time.
Yes. That'll be
but,
the
yeah.
only year I say it's a great, great thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
yeah.
the worst social media person there is. It's pretty bad that, like, in the creative realm, it's such a great tool for self-promotion
mm-hmm.
on an independent level
can
and
be.
Everything.
Can be, yeah.
But yeah, it can be, but, like, I'm just sitting there like, yeah, I don't put any personal stuff on there anymore. I don't really look at it. I scroll through the TikTok because there's some funny videos on there. But other
yes.
than that, man, that's my TikTok. I've had TikTok for, like, 2 years. I ain't made one video.
I
will make
content
for myself, and I never do anything. Like, I'm just like, I don't. This feels stupid. But...
Your stuff would go over great there, I think, but
yes,
just personally, the goth
God.
Sloth would be the goth sloth alone would be a hit there.
Yeah, he's
get a following.
His own TikTok, man.
Yeah, he needs his own TikTok channel almost, but yeah, that is awesome. But yeah, you gotta put some of your content as you get some clips and all. You definitely should feed those over. Yeah, to the TikTok, they like you a lot.
Yeah,
they like you a lot.
Yeah.
And I love, by the way, I love your new promo shot, by the way. We used it on our graphic for this show. I took it out, of course,
oh.
of your full shot. I excised you from your promo shot and used it. But that is a killer shot. You're rocking, man. I love that. Love that photo.
Yeah, Chris Zahn took the photo. He hit me up. Well, he takes all my photos, but he hit me up. He was like, he's doing one of those, film competition or whatever. I don't know if it's a competition, but this film or not film, photography thing that he was doing. And so he was like, it's like a theme thing. They give him like a theme and they have to shoot it. So he hit me up. He's like, I need you like in best rock star form. And I was like, okay. So did the thing. Of course, I always have the wardrobe to do whatever. And I was like, where you want to shoot at? So we go downtown in downtown Louisville. And there's this back alleyway by the Palace Theater, right behind the Palace Theater, it's the backstage entrance. So we go down there, and I've been in this parking garage that you got to go through everything. Saw Cinderella there at Mercury Ballroom and hung out backstage there and a lot of cool things. And my dream place to play ever. If I played there, I'd never have to play anywhere else, is the Palace Theater. I love the place.
Yeah, love that.
Amazing. I don't care if anybody's there. Like, I've actually thought about possibly doing a video there, renting it out, just the empty theater. And me and an acoustic guitar on the stage, just so I can say I played on that stage. And
you should.
So we go there, and it was like, well, come here and take this photo of me, like, right underneath the backstage thing and everything. I was like, this is the closest I'm ever going to get to play at the Palace Theater. So it was a good time, and I'm glad we actually picked that location. But, yeah, the photos turned out, but every photo Herschel ever takes turned out great. So he's definitely an artisan.
He's got a great eye, and I didn't know it was behind the Palace Theater. I love that venue. I'd taken Holly to see Bush there back in February, and what a concert. Wow. I mean, it's just such an amazing venue. It just takes it up a notch. But, yeah, definitely hope you since you got a new film company, you should celebrate by doing a music video out of there so you can get that on.
Me and Herschel do all of our music videos. So definitely, we got like this. Herschel's my brother, and he does this great video work for me. All my videos turn out great with him. And so still shooting the videos with him. And I think I'm just going to keep this one as like, I have this project that I've been wanting to do for like 10 years. So with a bunch of an anthology film. And I think we're going to try to head that up for the most part. I always wanted to create my own world, kind of like, you know, Stephen King's got his Derry, Maine and stuff like that. And that's where the Hallowed Hills name comes in. It's actually like a place that I made up in my head, pretty much.
Ooh.
And it's definitely been a passionate thing that I've been wanting to do. I've reworked scripts and stuff like that. I have like 4 copies of these binders full of these films. And
nice.
It's every genre of horror from like creature feature to thrillers, psychological thrillers to horror comedies are in there. Just every genre of horror mixed into an anthology film. So hopefully that's what comes out of this endeavor with BRC Studios and stuff. So I hope.
Well, shout out to John Mattingly.
John Mattingly.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
I showed up to his house one day, and he had a Black Magic. And I was like,
nice.
I was like, you know, when people go through a midlife crisis, they buy a sports car. He bought a really expensive camera, so, you know.
Nice.
Well, I'm going to say, we got a buddy, Jay, if you ever need more cameras, and he's a great, great filmmaker, too. He studied abroad and everything. He's just having a hard time getting his footing here, but he's done a lot of, you know, little projects and helped out with some things. I've worked with him on some things, but Matthew's always over here. But he has, I want to say he's got 3 cameras. 2 I know for a fact are Black Magic. And I want to say the third one is also a Black Magic. He's got 3 now because he said he wants to get those different angles. You know,
I'd
have to move the camera.
Yeah, I met him at Imaginarium 2 years ago, man. The first thing I ever said to him, I was like, because he has that real thick Southern accent, and I looked at him and I'm in love with your voice.
He's got a heck of a mustache now, too.
he'd be joyous to come help out. He would love it. So, yeah, just let me know, and I'll get you in touch, man.
And don't forget, he's a walking 3D printing farm. He's got like 8 machines, I think, 8 or 9. And he can actually make props with ease relatively speaking. But, yeah, he can make bigger props. Yeah.
3D printing. Dude, he showed me some of his masks one time. We were on a video chat. He showed me some of his masks one time, and I was like, dude, you really need to embrace the 3D printing thing. Like, you need to get this off the ground because you need money to it.
Yeah, he rebuilt a car engine, for some instructor up there, I think at EKU.
3D printed it,
Yeah, 3D printed a car engine. Yeah. So. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I hang out in the collector world. That's my hobby, is like collecting like horror stuff and everything, props, masks, and busts and stuff like that. And everything's going to 3D printing, man. Like, it's sad, yeah. And it's kind of cool. Like, anybody can kind of do it. If you got the painting skills, but I go to these conventions, man. It's more 3D printing stuff than it is like casts and molds and stuff.
Right.
And,
yeah,
I mean,
it's not as old school. Yeah.
So he can definitely make a good living.
Yeah, he can do it. Yeah, he's got the gear for it. But you need to find those people when you're getting your team together. Yes.
Yeah, well, I did the props for this film, and it was hard. It was kind of one of those things.
Kind of
all joined up on the directing side of things, and then I'm in front of the camera, and I'm trying to direct myself and trying to figure this out.
Hard.
I had to do the makeup or the effects makeup for it and rig up this knife and blood and all this stuff, and I was like, I'm wearing too many hats. This sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's rough.
That's the tough part.
It is.
Yeah.
I was like, is this what it's like dealing with me at all times? Is like, do you all have to experience this? This is horrible.
ADD at its finest.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's too good. Too good. But,
That's how my brain works.
Well, you've got quite a bit. Let's go ahead and segue a little bit into the writing side of things and art side of things, because you're an outstanding poet and lyricist. And but the interesting thing is, this upcoming book release, actually, you just did only the art for, and then Holly's son, Noah Vizorek, did the poetry for. And that's coming together just in time for Imaginarium 2. So, tell us a little bit about the art and how that project went with old Noah. And you can roast him if you want. You got the floor.
Holly was like, here, I want to introduce my son. Do art for his book. And I was like, okay, because I'll do anything for Holly. And I don't really do commission work, like, at all. Art is the one thing that I do that I actually enjoy. Some people be depressed by doing video games and stuff like that. I play with paint and see what I can come up with or whatever medium I want to mess with. And so at Imaginarium last year, I think it was at the Troll Club, he gave it to me. It might have been a little bit before that. But he gave me his poems. And I was like, cool. And they're like 50. And I was like, I don't know if I do 50 of art in a year for myself. So I sat down and read him, and he writes a lot like I do. A lot of the topics and content and how he expresses himself in words is kind of the same style of poetry that I write, same type of poetry that I read. So I very much enjoyed it. So me and him started chatting and everything. And I was like, all right, I don't really know what I'm going to come up with. I don't know if I'm going to do concept or if I'm just going to do a bunch of random stuff. Whoever makes this work, and it was more of a collaboration than a commission aspect. I just kind of went to work, and I read the poems, and I'd read them, like, every couple of days and figure out something I want, what inspired me to come up with the art. And some of it ended up being digital, some of it ended up being paint. Just whatever I could put together for him, because of what, you know, his writings said to me. He was like, I mean, you could, but what is it? He said to me, he was like, well, you know, you don't got to do a piece for every one of them. You know, you could take a couple of them and do a piece for, you know, however so many. And I'm like, nope. I was like, every one of them's got to have its own thing. Go big or go home. So, yeah, I'm not going to lie, man. I was like, what am I going to do for this? I'm like, here's. I'd wait and I'd have like five things and I'd send it to him and I'd come up with like 10 other things and send it to him. And eventually I'm glad to see that it's coming out, man. It's really awesome. I'm really happy for Noah, and I'm really glad that I got to actually contribute something to his book and actually get to work with him. Really good kid. Really cool kid.
Cool collab.
So. Yeah.
And he's got a real good sense for music, real good acumen for it, and good taste, I might add, too. Yeah, he and I share a lot of similar ground in that area. But, yeah, I've always told him, I said, with his poetry talent. I mean, he definitely has a segue where he could do some lyric writing in collaboration with a songwriter.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, and that's
and he's
why
got the ear
I
of a
knew
producer.
Him
he has the ear of a producer. He could be a producer.
Yeah.
Yeah, in music, he's got the ear for it. Yeah.
Well, he went to college for about 2 years.
Full Sail.
But yeah, he was going for music production. So yeah, he's got the background, and I'm trying to get him to go back now. He took your
hiatus. Oh, so close.
Back.
He is so close to finishing too.
Close.
So if y'all know him, tell him to finish because he's only got one quarter semester left. That's it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
something like that.
Right at the,
Production. There's too much call for it on the independent level now. Where you can actually do something. I mean, I got a friend of mine. He was a musician here in Louisville, but anyway, he was a country artist. And John and myself had worked with him a bunch in the studio doing his demos and stuff like that. And they pretty much brought him on down there to be like the songwriter. So he is just literally making money at writing songs.
Oh, right.
That's not my forte. I couldn't do that. But for somebody that's just into the writing, just the writing side of music, you could definitely go in and make a good living at it, or at least side hustle. And even if you go into like the recording aspect, like me and John do, I mean, you got your film production or your audio for film, which is that people don't realize what you're doing, because the sound guy, the audio guy gets no credit in film. Like, and it's the most trickiest part of the job ever, because you can take a really good film, and if it sounds like crap, people aren't going to watch it. You can take a really bad film, and if it sounds really good, it's bearable to watch.
Right.
And
that's true.
There's a lot of sides to audio that is definitely something you can make a living with and just have a lot of good fun with it, because I don't know how many, me and John, we get sidetracked all the time, like, especially with my music. Because I have an idea and John has an idea. And obviously this works back over into film, because this is how the film set worked. And I knew what I was getting into with me and John. Even Steph's been in the studio and made him work. And it's like, he'll have an idea and I'll have an idea. I'm like, well, let's just combine them. And that makes for a mess. But, that's how it is. Like, I'll just sit there and be like hitting a key on a keyboard and we'll play around with effects. And he's like, look, I've got this new package and let's put it on something. What? I don't know. Let's just do it. I was like, I want to work this sound effect in on a song that doesn't even belong on. Oh, okay. So that's a lot of our time is like, yeah, man, this song sounds squirrel. And we just get sidetracked.
Yeah, but you know what? The beautiful creations come from that, though. That's the fun thing.
Like Queen put like coins on a drum head and did all this weird experimental stuff, and they were one of the first bands to really think outside of the box when it came to recording music. So I'm a very big advocate of experiment with things. Don't stick to the norm. Break the rules.
No.
The rules are there, and we shoot film, and we do audio and stuff. We do it the way that we do it because somebody at one point broke the rules.
Right.
And that's to keep achieving new sounds.
And you should create what you enjoy, not just for appeasing an audience. And that's the beauty of independent. Yeah, you don't make the money that the big bands do, but you're also not underneath somebody's thumb telling you, hey, you have to do this way. You have to do that. Independent, you've got your own voice that you can spew forward, and you make what you want to make, what you enjoy, what you like. And then you build your audience from there.
That's what the good thing, like kids today coming up and younger adults and stuff that don't know anything about like going to shows, passing flyers out. Cause I mean, Staples and Kinko's, I was their biggest customer. All the local bands were coming up and everything, you know, go get your coffees out, go to big shows. Every band member hits a different show, passing out flyers to your show and stuff like that. Like there was a lot of footwork. Everybody else just posts something online now, and that's all the footwork that they do. And nobody really knows, like, we paved the way, man. I went through a lot of shit trying to promote shows.
Telephone poles and all. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, man. They blew them up on telephone poles. Barstown Road, and you can drive down there and it'd be 100 flyers stapled to telephone poles and putting them in every store and stuff like that. And all everybody has to do now is like, just click a button and the flyer's online being promoted. And that's the cool thing about it nowadays with the independent level is you jelly roll. There's a ton of rappers doing it right now. And these independent rappers, these independent artists are paving the way for getting rid of the labels, getting rid of the big conglomerates. There's a lot of filmmakers right now on the independent level just doing it themselves. YouTube, streaming services, and stuff like that.
Well, there's so many streaming options. There's streaming options now.
And you can just get your stuff and distribute yourself. I mean, about the only goal that I really have for film is I want, like, my DVD or my Blu-ray in Walmart. I'm a big, the $10 DVDs that are independent films that are there. Like, I buy them.
Yeah.
I'm that guy. Like, I'm like, this cover art looks, I do it the same way I always did albums. Like, this cover art looks great. I'm going to buy it.
Book is sold by its cover. Hey, that's true. Yeah.
Everything.
Can I have one small request? In addition to that, can you please, in addition to releasing something to Walmart and DVD or Blu-ray, can you also release something to Walmart and vinyl so I can pick up some vinyl from you at Walmart?
Oh, you want vinyl?
I love vinyl.
You collect vinyl, yes.
Dude, I collect the CDs. Vinyl was out whenever I was doing it. And then, like, I have, like, I don't know, probably close to 8,000 to 10,000 CDs. CDs. And I looked at them, I was like, I think I'm going to start collecting vinyl. And I was like, ain't no way I'm going to replace all this. Not at all.
No.
I got a couple of records that, like, every time, like, when I met Phil from Pantera, I got all the Pantera albums, Down albums signed by him. So if I get an autograph, I usually get the vinyl.
That's what I was listening to earlier.
Pantera?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice.
You know what I'm listening to? Sometimes I'm listening to a Jason, this Jason guy from Louisville. I don't know if you've heard of him. I don't know. He runs around with this goth slop and this dude named Moon.
Oh, I can't wait to release that book. I hope to get that book done by the fall. I don't know what you call it. It's a children's book. I think Moon said it would be like released like 16 and 17 year olds, but it's a children's book. It's written in the way of a children's book.
I can't wait. I've been waiting.
Lost in the Goth.
Yes.
And it's all about how this goth guy's blessed and he meets this rainbow sloth and they change each other's world and he teaches the goth how to be happy again. So, and I'm hoping to get this. Oh, that'll be a quick one. Like, all I got to do is the illustrations off the route, and it's done. It's already written. It's done. And hopefully I can have that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm definitely doing that because, like, I never started thinking about it. And I don't know. I was drunk or something one night, and I started just, like, rhyming like a C-Spot Run book. And I started thinking about it. And I had, like, so many ever pages done of it, and I was like, I read it back to myself, and I was like, wow, this is actually really good. I kept reading it to people, letting people read it and stuff like that. They're like, this is really good. And I was like, yeah, I know. Tequila makes a lot of things. Tequila benefits.
That's right. I get the tequila. I get it. I get it totally. Steven likes to limit my tequila intake when there's, people around because – I get a little crazy on tequila, but yeah, it's a good time.
Speaking of like, Saturday after at Imaginarium at the awards banquet, after the awards banquet and everything.
Yes.
I plan on, I got some free booze in my room for anybody that wants to take, but I'm also going to play three or four songs from the upcoming acoustic album. brand new material,
sweet,
brand new songs, kind of like a little mini listening party. In the room, here's your free drink, check out these songs, tell me what you think kind of deal. So if anybody wants to stop by that evening, something like that, to check out some of the new stuff. I'm really proud. The acoustic stuff's turning out really good. We finally got to
save a dance, at least one for me. I got you out on that dance floor last year, and it was glorious.
I was drunk.
I know.
Oh.
I know.
Oh, that was good. That was good. That was awesome.
Oh, man, it was a good time. What did somebody tell me about the outfits me and Steph were wearing last year, the black and white striped outfits? Somebody had their head down or on their phone or something. They almost ran into me, and they looked up at me, and I'm 6'4", got a top hat on, and I got all these black and white stripes. And he goes, excuse me, what was it, Gothic Uncle Sam? I was like, I'm Gothic Uncle Sam now.
That's awesome.
And that moment inspired my next video, by the way. So expect like a video with Gothic Uncle Sam in it. But, me and Herschel are getting ready to shoot a new video shortly, within the next month or so. So we should be having a new video out. And then, also at Imaginarium, this is what with my art this year, I'm going to do art by donation. So I'm not actually charging for it. If you can donate, I've winged it down to two different charities, but they are animal-based charities for either animal shelters or adoption place that I'm through people connected with that I would like to just give the money to. So I'm selling it, and I'm pocketing the money and stuff. I want to do anything at my booth is going to be just drop this in the jar and walk off with what you want.
Very cool.
So, yeah. I got to take care of the animals because that's, you know, animals before
people. We, oh,
that's
we
right.
understand.
That's right.
We got our two here. Our two pointy ears. Family members.
Steph's dog's done owned me, so, I mean.
Yes, I see the picture. I've seen that.
You have no clue. Yeah. We went to Florida, and I had to ride.
Mm-hmm.
Took the girl. I had to ride for 9-10 hours holding the wiener dog in my arms like a baby. When I put her down, she cried. Yeah, it sounds cute until you do it for 10 hours. And, we took them to a dog beach, and they had a blast. Man, that little wiener dog turned into like a gazelle. I'm sitting there running behind her on the leash and stuff, and we stop, and I look down, and she looks up at me like, let's keep going. I'm like, I'm having a heart attack.
He's like, my legs are a lot smaller than yours. Come on, let's go.
I couldn't keep up with her. I never seen that little dog run so fast, other than for like food. Yeah, no, they're definitely the apple of my eye. I go to the earth for those three dogs. But yeah, so
that's awesome.
Charity, man. I want to give to an animal charity. So that's what I'm going to do this year.
And we'll help you spread the word on that. But speaking of you and Herschel, and you worked with this on Holly to get this set up, but I think you and Holly should talk about the little shindig we have going on Friday night and the craziness that you all have planned with Mr. Kyer too.
It's a lot of craziness. Yeah, it's a lot of craziness.
We got a magician. He's opening the show, right? So
yes, and going to do ghost stories. He's going to do ghost stories too.
Ghost stories. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Sleep Aurora, which is a full band this year. It's the 10-year anniversary, so Kyer wanted to put a full band in. He told me this like a couple months after last year, and he was like, I got a full band. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
That was about how much that negotiation was. And
what's my arm?
Yeah. That was cool. You got a full band.
Lengthy negotiations there.
Oh, yeah. We're really difficult people to work with. It's like, cool, you got something? Awesome. And then Herschel's coming back again because he went over so great last year. He did such a great performance last year that I was like, man, you got to come do this again. He doesn't really get a lot of opportunities to perform that, and he's so good at it. Like, Herschel should be touring with that act.
And if somebody pulls me away, I'm gonna smack him upside the head and let her die.
Damn, you still ain't outlived this, Stephen?
Nope.
I'm retired as champion, and I'm coming to your show on Friday. And we're not doing it. I'm not doing anything during that slot.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie, you took my crowd last year.
We'll leave it there, but I'm coming to your show this year, and there's not going to be any activities for Stephen during that time.
Stephen definitely stole the show last year, but yeah. But Herschel was great, and he's broadened his set. I think he's doing like, I think he said Chuck Berry, Elvis.
Oh, thanks. Wow.
All kinds of a variety.
Oh,
of
God,
stuff.
He does Elvis. The grandkids are going to have, oh, they're going to love it. They
oh,
love
my God.
Elvis.
Yeah.
Oh,
the
he
Pelicans,
will tickle
the Pelicans. The Pelicans will go crazy.
My oldest grandkids, oh, they're going to love it.
Yeah, the
brother,
Pelicans.
Your grandkids have good taste. You raise people well, Holly.
I do. I know. I do.
Hey, I'll get some credit here. I've encouraged their metal side. I've gotten them into everything from Kiss to some real heavy stuff like Pantera and all. And they love Wage War and Nothing More and all kinds of bands. So they're into the heavy stuff. Yeah, they love it.
Nothing More is a good band. Nothing More is great.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. I love those bands as well. But
play after everybody. So I think it's going to be a hell of a night Friday night.
And then after rehearsal, then tell everybody what you are planning on doing.
What you are planning on doing.
This is becoming like a year of stuff I've been wanting to do for a long time. And for a long time, I wanted to do like, you remember the old VH1 Storyteller acoustic stuff? Like when they used to
have
a live band come up and play acoustic stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Stripped down, they would tell stories about the songs and stuff like that. And I've never been in a space where I've been able to do that. It's always been like a show, a big show or something like that, or I was with the full band or just whatever. And, you know, it was like, let's talk more rock, play some Skinner, whatever the crowd is. But this year, I think Imagineering is the kind of place I can to finally do this. And since there's panels
with other creatives.
Exactly, and there's panels all day, and there's this thing, so I'm kind of treating it kind of like a quote-unquote panel where we can have, like, a little Q&A afterwards, you know, where people can ask questions of different things about music, different reasons why I write the songs, what inspirations are, whatever questions that they want to ask me after the set, during the set, whatever, and just kind of like a really good time of experiencing music instead of just sitting there listening to it, learning more about it, learning more about what goes on in a person's head. And it helps me to connect with the crowd and get to know them more, meaning being able to explain where I'm coming from with everything, because ultimately everything I do is an act of helping myself, but I also want it to help people. I want my music to help people. I want my art to inspire people, or if they just want to look at it and enjoy something on the wall, to films that I make. I've been doing artistic works and creative stuff for a very, very long time, and I want to see as many people as I can have a glow up with it as much as I do, you know, and love it the way that I do. And if I can inspire people to do something, or if I can just pull people through a hard time, then I've done my job. I don't need a record deal or a world tour to give me some type of self-satisfaction. It's just really, honestly, as humble as I can make it, I want people to enjoy what I do, and I want to help people through whatever they're going through.
That's going to be cool.
And you are
like that a lot.
You are deserving of a big record label, I must say.
They'll be telling me what to write, and they'll make me sound like a pop artist, like they did with every cool country artist.
Vinyl pressings. I want vinyl pressings from you. That's what I want.
You know what? you get like Metallica, where they just bought a recording studio and
they bought a pressing plant. No, they bought a vinyl pressing plant. They own the pressing facility. Yes, they did. They own the whole plant.
I looked into doing vinyl because I wanted to do one of those.
It ain't
the clear
cheap,
vinyl.
I know that.
I want to do like the clear vinyl with blood in it. You know, do one of those cool. But man, you have to order so many.
Like the minimums for a press run.
Like the minimum one is like 100 vinyl or 100 records. Like, because I want a vinyl. You know, that'd be something cool to hang on the wall, pressing of my stuff. But I was
like, but everywhere you perform, you take the dang things and you sell them. You could sell a bunch of them at Imaginarium. Are you kidding me?
I think you ought to do a Kickstarter, because that way, you know, you raise the money to do it, or you don't. No loss. Get it up front. And I guarantee you that I think you'd get about 100 people to buy one. I'm good for two copies. You only need to sell 98. I'm gonna get two.
I'll give you two. I'm very, very bad at the social media thing, because I don't want to do it. It's like one of those things.
I don't blame you.
I'm just like, it doesn't intrigue me. I'm an artist. This is where I need like AR and management and shit, because I want to just be free to create the stuff.
I understand. 100%. 100%.
And because I'm so like, I don't really care about the money part of it. Like, I don't, you know, if it takes care of itself, if I make it, most of my money, any money that I make usually goes back into what I do. I don't really make a profit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The more money you make, the more you can put back into it and do, you know, cooler and cooler shit. So, I think that's a great idea. I mean, we could help you after Imaginarium. We could help you get that started, Jay. You get your ass down here. We've been trying to do this forever. You get your ass to Lexington, spend the weekend.
Vinyl. Yes.
We'll do this.
Oh, I'm going down.
We need to do this.
Yeah.
Like the mac and cheese that you sent me, because that stuff sounds great. I see all the food that you post that you make. And I'm just like, man, Holly's on this culinary arts thing.
She's in a competition now, too. Holly got accepted in some competition.
Starting next week. I actually got accepted. Blew my mind. There's been people waiting for weeks, and I'm like, I got mine in like a few minutes. But you had to turn in pictures of your food and your passion and why you love to cook and blah, 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 blah. And so I wrote all this stuff up and everything. And I mean, it was just a few minutes. They accepted me. I was like, holy crap, because it's a Food Network, like sister, parent, whatever, of a Food Network. I guess an affiliate is what you could say, because it's one of their chefs. Anyway, they're doing this big contest, and it goes by like votes of your friends and family that's ate your food, that recommend it, blah, blah, blah. But the first place is like 25 grand plus a big editorial in the Taste of Food and Home magazine. And I'm like, this is amazing, because then I could actually go to a couple of the chefs that I love, restaurants, and just try their food. Or maybe, you know, if I win this contest, maybe they'll take me in the back to see their kitchen. Oh, my God, my day is made. You know, just to see their big kitchens and all the equipment. And yeah, that would just be thrilling for me, because I have a passion for cooking. It is definitely an art, one of my many talents. But yeah, it's definitely an art. I love it. It's my therapy. I love to try new things, exotic dishes that I've never tried before. I'll try it. I ain't scared. Steve knows. I'll do research, because I want to do it as authentic as possible. So I do a bunch of, you know, thank God we have the YouTube and all this now, because that's how I learn. I get on there. I go for the authentic version, you know, ethnic people that's making these dishes from there that actually know what they're doing, and I'll recreate them. So if there's anything you want me to try to make that you've always wanted to try, Jay, let me know. And when you do come down, hell, I'll perfect it by the time you come down.
I'm going to end up going through your Instagram. Every time I see an Instagram post or something, I'm like, I'm hungry now. That's what she posts on there. It's like food. And
that's
I'm sitting here like,
that's all I post on there, yeah.
You need to try her Haitian pork griot. She makes Haitian pork griot, and it is mind-blowing. And it is amazing. It takes 3 days to make it, but it is absolutely spectacular and absolutely authentic. I mean, it is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to try this stuff. Yeah, but
plus, Jay,
if she does well, she can drive Sean Burton Saunders. She can make him give her a lot of stuff on a rider to appear in his new show, Cooking Kentucky. She make him give her some high-end, like tequila. All kinds of
food truck anyway.
That's right. You can drive up the demands if you do well in this competition. Yeah, to be in his Cooking Kentucky show. Yeah, you can.
I need a guest appearance. Yeah.
Drive him a hard bargain. Yeah.
Whatever you can do to give Sean a hard time, always give Sean a hard time.
Yeah,
it's fun.
I love it. Yeah.
And everybody agrees with that. He's messed up.
Yeah.
He is like my I'm very
the Wonder
masculine
Twins.
But he is like my male version of me. Me and Sean together, when we're together, it's
the
just
Wonder Twins.
Something to watch. Yeah.
Like that cartoon Wonder Twins Activate back from the old school cartoons.
That's
what happens. Yeah,
yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Oh, dear Lord. That's
yeah, it's dangerous.
Yeah,
it's we're going to see him in a couple of days, I think, so we'll have to harass him a little bit. We'll tell him that we touched base with you this Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is he coming down there to you
all? He's going to be shooting
down
to say hi. Yeah, for once. It took us ages, but you know, he's finally going to say hi.
Man, he's always on the go. Like, I see his social media stuff. Man, I haven't talked to him in a couple of months, and
he's got something. Yeah, he's got something with that. I really think he's got something with that. That's an interesting show. I've watched
the episode. Theme music, and Jason could write him theme music. He needs some kind of theme music for his show.
He does. He needs a good theme intro music something there. So, yeah, drop him a note.
Yes.
I see his post. Like, cause he's been a producer on, I think all but one video that I've done, and every time it's like kind of happy and everything. Yeah, Sean produced all those, and it's like Sean has such a better palate than most people, and we're just like, Sean, go get food. So he'll pick some place that he knows that none of us have heard of. I think on the Over the Under video shoot, he went to some Mexican place none of us heard of, and he pretty much set up like a street taco station in front of the place that we were working on the video. And just set this whole buffet. I'm like, dude, Sean, you do it upright. But, he has a way with food, man. He knows good food. So,
well, he knows how good Holly is because he was on the project with where Holly did the set catering, and they never had food as good as they had on that set. I tell you, they were all complimenting it. They were all eating.
But
good.
I did. And that's when Sean's like, "Hey," he said, "When I get big, I'll get you a food truck." And I said, "Buddy, I'm not gonna let you forget that. You open your mouth."
You
get me a food truck, and I'll cater every damn thing you're working on. I don't care, but I gotta have my truck. I'm not going back and forth no more.
You need your truck. Well, now you can cater Jason's set. Now that Jason's got a film company, you can cater Jason's sets. Now, get that food truck. Yeah.
Get that food truck. Stay on Sean.
Mm-hmm. I'll stay on him. That's like giving him hell. We argue constantly.
That's right.
I love it.
Oh, yeah, that's the fun part with him. Oh, he's always arguing with people everywhere, TikTok, YouTube, everywhere. He's everywhere.
I can fully agree with what he says, and I would be the straight devil's advocate and just be like, well.
that's the fun part.
Just to stir him up. Yeah.
Stir him up. Stir him up.
It's great.
Oh, my God.
I miss Sean.
Yeah, he's fun.
A good people.
Character. But, he stays busy with his other work and stuff, and he's always traveling, so Yeah, it's kind of tough to catch up with him, but yeah, he's a good part of your group there up in Louisville. Definitely one of the good ones.
Yes, he is.
Looking forward to seeing him.
I got to know Sean Lost in Time. I knew Sean. It's really weird, me and Sean. He was in a band that we played with a lot. Well, he was a drummer in Two Pump Chump, and probably one of the greatest bands. They were Steel Panther before Steel Panther was Steel Panther. But they were really great,
nice.
And we played shows together and all this stuff. Sean's a hell of a drummer. And
I did not know that. I thought he was playing guitar and sang and stuff.
Either.
And so I went to a family Christmas party on my dad's side. I walk in, and there's Sean. I'm like, what are you doing here? He was real good friends with my cousin. So to my cousin Robbie, he was like family. So I was like, okay, so you're like family. Cool. Great. Like, mind you, I'd already been giving him shit. Like, I knew this guy. I'm like, I don't know if I want you in my family. What part of my family are you in? I was looking around the room. We've been connected even longer before film or anything else, man. It goes fucking 12 years ago, 15 years ago, probably. I've known Sean that long for the shows, and then that, and then we did the Lost in Time video, and Hersher brought him on to help produce that video. That was the first one. And he shows up, and I'm just like, it's like, dude, that keeps, like, interrupting my life, which is a good thing. So I'm just like, he just pops up, and I'm like, well, I guess I'm never getting rid of you. He's kind of like my favorite tumor.
Kind of like herpes, you know?
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
I was
right.
To be nice, huh? Getting straight to herpes.
Sean knows I do it all out of love.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, he's an all around good artist, man. Like drum wise, man, he's a great drummer, good friend. And,
that's awesome. I did not know he's a drummer. I never knew that.
Now I do, and I'm gonna bust these balls about it too.
Oh, I'm gonna. Yeah, me too. I'm gonna give him a hard time on that one too.
I've always wanted to work up some music with him, you know, and jam out or whatever, and come up with a couple songs, maybe release like an EP or something like that with him. Mm-hmm. He's a very good drummer. He's one of those good, solid rock drummers. And you don't find that much anymore. Everybody wants double bass and everything and all this crazy shit. And he's just like, his influences are like, I asked him one time, I was like, who would you say the best drummer is? And Aerosmith's drummer. The guy he came up with, I was really just like, dude, listen to that guy. He stays in the pocket. He drives the song. He's a perfect drummer for rock. And I went back, and I always liked Aerosmith. I mean, I grew up on Aerosmith and stuff like that with my mom and my dad and stuff. And I went back and listened. I was like, damn.
Yeah, Joey Kramer is awesome. I love Joey Kramer. Yeah, he's a great drummer.
Yeah, he really is the unsung driving force behind that band. And so it just kind of like opened my eyes. So yeah, man, Sean knows his stuff when it comes to drums. He's like,
well, honestly,
people
don't understand that. Yeah, a drummer that really could sit in the pocket well, like Phil Rudd of AC/DC, even Charlie Watts of Rolling Stones. Yeah, they may not be playing like Neil Peart, you know, Rush, but a good drummer that can really hit that groove and sit in the pocket. I mean, that's an elite drummer, you know, can do that well. I mean, that's something I respect.
Like everybody talks about like blues guitar players. Like I'm a big fan of the blues and everybody talks about blues guitar players. I was like, really strip away the guitar. It's the bass and the drums that make blues.
Mm-hmm.
Because without that good rhythm section, you have nothing.
Oh, absolutely. It's true. Yeah, you got to have that groove
That's what was my problem with bands and playing music and stuff. I can never find bass players and drummers that play together. It was like,
right.
You know, because they'd like the bass player be like, and almost every band deals with this. And every band that lets it slide is completely wrong. It's, you have the drummer or you have the bass players like, look at the guitar player, following the guitar player, or what's the note?
No,
and what you
can
do is like,
actually, yeah.
Just kick them really hard a lot and go, no, play with the drummer. Do
right,
the fills
that's
with the
correct way.
That's how you play a bass. Bass is a percussive
yep.
instrument. So
yes, it is.
And when you have a good rhythm section, it leaves more for the guitar player and the vocalist to actually do what they're supposed to be doing up front. But without percussion,
right.
without a good rhythm section, man, your band is nothing.
Yep.
And sometimes you got to play simple stuff. That's a lot of the problems with like metal drummers and stuff. They don't want to do simple things. Simple things
uh-huh.
are what people remember. Those good grooves are what people remember. That's what people
absolutely.
Can dance to. You know, that's what
absolutely.
They stand and they pay attention to. And
exactly.
That's what it is.
Yep.
And I love Tool. Tool's one of my favorite bands. Danny Carey is
probably. Oh, I love Tool.
Other than the Neil Peart from Rush, I mean, Danny
yeah.
Carey is, like, he plays math. He doesn't play drums. He plays math. I mean,
yeah.
they're up there like.
He's a technician.
Like all of,
some
yeah, it's
serious
like,
technician.
You know, Neil Peart, he's always
yeah.
four steps ahead
mm-hmm.
of what he's actually doing. Just how his brain works.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys are great, man. They're technical drummers, and there is music that calls for that, especially when you're going to like progressive rock and progressive metal and stuff like that. But man, to have a really good, just solid song, drummer and a bass player that just works together really well, that's mm-hmm. what makes a great song. The people,
that's true.
Just,
yeah, people have to broaden because, and like when it comes to guitar, like for instance, I mean, I like different styles. I like the technician and the prog guy like a John Petrucci of Dream Theater, and then I also equally love a sloppy rock player like Ace Frehley. I like both kind of styles, and yeah, people don't appreciate sometimes the ones that are not the quote unquote like you said the math player, the technician type. They focus a little too much on that, and they miss the feel that's in the other ones, sometimes.
Yeah,
and
man.
Don't appreciate those guys.
Guitar players can turn into robots, man. It's like the technical
mm-hmm.
side, and they just focus on the technicality
mm-hmm.
thing, and they turn into these robots, and the music loses
oh, sure.
all of the feeling and all of its
absolutely.
Flow.
Absolutely.
Like, I love Joe Bonamassa. Joe Bonamassa, to me, is one of the greatest guitar players that ever existed. Plus, he's got a great
new Black Country
right.
Communion coming this fall. I can't wait. Should be this fall, I guess. I get maybe early 2024, but, yeah, new album coming up. So, yeah, I love that guy.
Is great. But you
yes.
listen to him and have – I was working with a guitar player and a drummer at the time, and I bought tickets for all of us to go see Joe Bonamassa. I was like – wanted to get some inspiration from them and, kind of check out what I'm into and stuff like that. And when you go see Joe Bonamassa, he doesn't have an opening act. He goes down on stage and plays an acoustic set for like an hour and a half. Then he walks off stage for about 15, 20 minutes or something like that. Then he comes back and plays about 2-3 hour electric set. It's like 4 or 5 hours of just him. And that's all you need because he doesn't need a walk back. And, it's like this man is a one-man orchestra on an electric guitar. It's probably one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life musically, just how he plays and
commands
yeah. the crowd, sitting there with his full attention, watching this dude play guitar. But you listen to somebody like Joe Bonamassa, and then you listen to somebody like Stevie Ray Vaughan, or you listen to somebody like Hendrix.
Yeah.
Those guys were
mm-hmm.
sloppy. They messed up on the cool thing about like Hendrix and Vaughn, that they messed up on a note. They worked that bad note into the groove.
Yeah.
And you could never.
Absolutely. I'm a huge Hendrix fan. Love Hendrix. Yeah.
Well, man, Hendrix played, he was so stoned that there's no way he was playing the thing correctly. But there was so much emotion. That man was on Mars when he was playing. He was, and that's what music to me nowadays is missing that. A lot of the new metal that's coming out, it's like Pantera. Dimebag was a blues guitar player. Straight up. He played with pure talent and passion and feeling, man. He just had this soul in him. And Phil's even said that he just played with so much soul.
Yes, I agree.
With this whole reunion thing, of course, there was no way I would have ever supported this reunion thing that they're doing if they didn't bring Zach on. Zach's the same way. And one of the most influential guitar players in history, next to Randy Rhoads, Dimebag, and all those guys. But there's something that all those guys have. They were technical, and they were great players, but they played with feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, have you ever seen Black Label Society live?
I haven't seen them. I've only seen them like in like, I've got a couple of their concert DVDs, but yeah, I haven't seen them personally live.
So, I mean, and on their concert DVDs, the same way, like he'll take his leads and stuff and they're extended like 5 minutes. He'll just go off his own little playing lead, man. There's a video on YouTube if you haven't seen it. It's Zach Wild and Joe Bonamassa performing a Hendrix song together.
Nice.
I'm going to check this out.
Oh, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I still remember when I first heard him on No Rest for the Wicked with Ozzy Osbourne. That was the first album I heard Zach, and Miracle Man was the song. And I just was like, my God, I love this guy. Like from the moment I heard his sound. I mean, yeah, he's one of those that grabs you. He's one of those special players.
Oh, yeah. Jakey Lee was the same way. Ozzy had a talent for getting good.
Love him. Oh, love Jakey Lee.
Jakey Lee.
Criminally underrated. Criminally underappreciated. Yeah, he is amazing.
Like, the guys that are all about Rhodes, but they just kind of stick with Rhodes, and Zach sucks, too. You got those gatekeepers. But then you got the guys that are like, Zach, I'll hit on Jakey Lee. And Jakey Lee, good. He did.
Bark at the Moon, Ultimate Sin, Badlands, Red Dragon Cartel. Great.
Oh, man.
He's got many, many great albums. Yeah.
What was that Ozzy album? It was the Scream album, I think it was called. It was a newer one. It was, I don't know, not new now. It was about 10, 12, some odd years ago or whatever. And I remember I was sitting there, not going to mention what I was doing, but I was in a moment. And I just spaced out at that album. It was when Jakey Lee came back for like one album. And I just spaced out on that album. I was just like, oh, my God. It was like one of the coolest sounds, especially from Ozzy. He was trying stuff new. He had like a bunch more synth in his stuff, a bunch more like electronic stuff in his stuff. And then that worked with like what Jakey Lee was doing. And I was just blown away by it. And great album, great guitar. All three of them, like, they all were different. Rhodes was different. Zach was different. And Jakey was different. But they were all just great artisans of guitar. And
absolutely. Yeah.
Music's fun, man. This is kind of what I want to do at Imaginarium, just like have these conversations with an audience of people and talk and appreciate music.
I'm having conversations in the chat room with your affiliate about doing stuff after.
Your affiliate.
So I'm just letting you know, that we're talking about post-Imaginarium. Doing some things.
Oh, my God.
Is it Dwan?
Yeah, it's Moon.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to bed after Imaginarium. I'm gonna let you on. I'm going to sleep.
No. And then we got another party because I took Monday off this year from work. So
right. No, I'll do all that. But yeah, that following week, you better give me a break.
Are you staying in our room Sunday night then?
Yes.
No, I'll probably come home to my house because I live in Louisville. But I'm definitely coming back to the room. Yeah.
You suck.
Yeah,
we're going to
slip on the floor one time.
Oh, yeah, that was the greatest thing ever. We leave the party.
No adventures.
I will never forget this to the day. I'm going to be on my deathbed thinking about this moment of Steven. So we're in the party.
What,
room.
Me and you laying in bed together that Sunday morning talking about all the things you did the night before and regretting it? It's like, man, what the hell? How did I get to the room? Do you remember what happened? Why did you sleep on the floor? I don't know. I don't know either.
That was a horrible Sunday. So, like, you sit there and
yeah,
I was
fun.
Like, all right, you're staying up in our room tonight. And I was like, okay. Of course, Moon was there. I think that was his first Imaginarium. So anyway, Holly got
that was his first. That was his
Holly
first imaginary.
Here we go. Holly got me drunk.
Holly got me drunk.
Here we go. Here we go.
And,
here we go.
So me and DeJuan's in the party room, hanging out with everybody, having a good time. Steven's over there, sitting down in the corner, chillaxing.
Yeah,
all
that
stuff. Getting tore
not
up.
Not me. I'm going.
Hello?
Oh, yeah. No, we're here.
And so me and DeJuan, I'm drunk already. And so me and DeJuan are like, all right, let's go up to the room. I'm ready to pass out. So we walk up to the room. We open up the door, and somehow Steven teleported to
That's
the
what
room.
That's what I do.
Sitting in the chair.
That is what I do.
Looking like a grand wizard. I was like, how the fuck did he get here?
Exactly. Yeah, you're
and,
like a wizard.
So DeJuan was hanging out with me, so I gave him the couch. I curled up on the floor and passed out. DeJuan, being the friend that he is, covered me up with a blanket. And then it was probably about 2 hours later, Holly kicks me. And she's standing over top of me. She goes, get up. We got a convention to do. And I was like, Holly, I'm still drunk.
That's so true.
She picked me up. Literally picked my 6'4 ass up.
I remember that.
And
yep.
We laid in bed in the morning, just shooting the shit, talking about life and age and all the bad stuff and good stuff and everything. And then we went to do this. Now, Holly got messed up that night, too.
Yes,
Holly's running around this convention like nothing ever happened.
That's how we do it.
That is
how we roll. We just go.
Yeah, the creatives are the most – I've been to a lot of parties in my life. I've partied hardest with the hardest people, did a lot of crazy shit. Now I got to admit – creative people party a hell of a lot harder than any musician I've ever partied with in my life. I got drunk with Machine Head one night on their bus.
That is awesome.
Oh yeah, we were real good. I followed them and became real good friends with them for a long time. They played Louisville, so I brought them a gallon of Grey Goose vodka. That's what their medicine was at the time. So anyway, they played
you're
the show. I got.
I need to be partying with these people, right?
I need to be partying with these people. You destroy them.
That's probably true.
It's called a butt burner, and it's literally a shot of vodka and hot sauce.
Heck yeah, let's go.
I'm partying with one of my
favorite
bands.
Let's go.
I was so tore up, the bus started moving with me on it. And they were like, whoa, and yelled at the driver. Like, you want to go to New Jersey? I got to go to work on Monday. And so I just stumbled off the bus and went into a car, and somebody brought me home. I don't know who it was. But, yeah, man, I got to hang out with – I partied with Devil Driver. You never know how minuscule of a musician you are. Dez Fairfall from Devil Driver and Cold Chamber, man. He walks off his bus, and Danzing was playing on the radio. It was a big party with all these bands that were playing. And I was in the middle of it. It was a good time. And he was like, I watched him do it, too. He's like, I love Danzing. He's like, I think I'll call him. And he calls Danzing on the phone.
That's awesome.
Yeah, dude. I've done a lot of cool shit when it comes to other music, man. I've partied with a lot of music, but you all party way harder. I've never felt that bad in the music.
I'm a huge Danzig fan, and I got to give Dez props because the Dealing with Demons Volume 2 album that Devil Driver just released recently is phenomenal. I mean, it is a great album. Love it. So
yeah, love it.
Had to give that one a shout out. But yeah, Danzig is one of my big ones. I've loved Danzig since the second album is when I came aboard with them. That was something.
I grew
so,
up.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So we have a lot of fun.
We have a lot of fun after hours at Imaginarium. Don't expect to sleep too much. It's not happening.
I get my own room now. I get my own room every year now. Steph insists that we get our own room. Last year I walked out of the party room and they had this drink. These are the greatest people to have the secret party room. They're really nice.
the secret party rooms. I love that.
Yeah,
stuff. The secret party rooms.
Captain Jack Sparrows. So I kept drinking these Captain Jack Sparrows. And when I left to go back to my room, I was walking like Captain Jack Sparrow. It was rough.
Oh, that's great. Oh,
and, you know,
God.
I don't remember how I got back to the room, Friday or Saturday, but I did, and I was quite impressed with myself. So was everyone else. But I made it by myself because, you know, I rarely see Steve because he goes to these parties and he sits in the corner, drinks his bourbon, and I rarely see him unless I'm coming through with my posse going,
uh-huh.
You know,
we can hear you coming.
We can hear you coming.
We can hear
you
coming.
Me, but
yeah,
I don't stay, you know, because I have to, you know, I have to go around and see everybody. But yeah, I'm having a lot of fun. I never see Stephen much.
Nobody sees Steve until like Sunday.
That's
You'll
true.
Get he's like
That's what I do.
He's like, did I see him?
very tactical. Yes.
Everybody needs to come out this year, man. It's going to be a good year, and the Friday night party is going to be great. The panels you all got are killer this year, man.
Kudos to Holly. Holly has worked hard on that, and we talk about programming all the time. And Holly puts a lot of thought into that. And yeah, that's something. Yeah, I've watched her do, for months, and she does the work. I mean, she's got a killer lineup this year. It's going to be the best yet.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be great. There were so many of them that I was choosing, and I was looking through the panel list, and I was like, I'm going to do all of them. So I just kept clicking them.
I know.
Them, so.
It's hard. It's hard.
Yeah, I bet.
Get it narrowed down.
You got such creative names for your panels.
Well, thank you. I try to make them kind of fun, but still so people know what the hell they're about, because I'll get questions like, well, I don't understand what this panel's about. Well, I have Stephen put it on the website. So I always tell people, if you're not sure, go to the website under, the panel on programming, and it has a description under all the workshops, all the panels. I give him all the descriptions, and he posts them up there as they come in.
Yep.
So, if you have any questions, just refer to that because it'll explain everything.
Yeah, we got them all up there.
Yeah, you had the horror ones this year, and all I read was horror. And I was like, well, I'm going to do that one. But, yeah, the songwriting panel last year was awesome. I hope it's that way this year, too, because that was a good panel.
Yeah. Yeah, we
had a good
that.
People were asking. I had several people ask about it, and they love it. A lot of people are loving the songwriting. I mean, right, just – authors that love songwriting and want to get into it.
Absolutely.
A bunch of them. And they don't know where to start because they know other authors, but they don't know songwriters. And that's the beauty of Imagineering, because it's what we all come together to collaborate, to network, to, you know, start new projects.
Yeah, all spheres.
Mm-hmm.
No other like creative writing or storytelling convention brings together all those sectors from film, from gaming, prose, from poetry, from songwriting.
Yep.
We have them all, and that's the difference.
Yep.
I mean, it really is. You don't see
it. If you do like a music convention or a literary convention or a gaming convention,
you won't find the range we've got. You won't. Mm-mm. Nope.
Yeah. I follow a bunch of different authors on Instagram that I've met at Imaginarium and stuff like that, and it's just at like authors convention or a writers convention or something like that. And I'm like, you really are just like the nonstop shop of conventions when it comes for everything. So, and that's probably why it's such a good time. And you get every genre. You know, it's a place you can go and have somebody like me. And then like, I think it was one year. It might have been last year or the year before. My neighbors are always cool at Imaginarium because with my booth big, and it's got jack-o'-lanterns and skeletons and evil things and Halloween and all that stuff. And then I'm next to like
good stuff.
A Christian author. And they're the coolest people in the world. We'll sit there and chit-chat all weekend and stuff. and get to know each other, and I follow them on Instagram. Like, there's no judging and stuff like that with people. So
nope.
It is definitely a good community of people that get together to do this thing. So
yeah.
I'm glad to see
it. We have maintained throughout 10 years of everybody leaving the religion, the politics, the
all
that crap at the door.
It's one of the
and
only places in America,
together.
Only places
yes.
you'll see all backgrounds come together and actually get along. It's one
yep.
of the few places.
Yep.
It really, I'm
we,
proud of that.
We definitely have the most diverse community of I will
oh,
put
yes,
it
we do.
Of
yeah, they
make
get along.
In the country.
Absolutely. They get along,
make
too. Yeah,
I want that on a shirt.
Yeah. They get along.
We just
got great. We got
push,
everybody.
Yeah,
push those attendees. We got to get these attendees in the door and show them these new people that have, you know, heard about
it
but never experienced
it.
Come experience
it.
You know, don't even,
oh, yeah.
you know, you don't have to be a guest. Just come, buy your regular pass, experience it, and see
just
for yourself.
Just experience it.
Yeah.
You will see. Yeah.
Moon, a couple years ago, when I invited him to his first one, and now he's hooked. He's the same way as I am.
Yep.
He's looking forward to every year. We're talking about it from the end of last year all the way up to this year, making plans for what we're going to do and stuff. And he got hooked in. John Mattingly's actually coming out this year. And
that's
he's
awesome.
Coming in to experience it because I think eventually – because I'd like to see him get on some of these audio music panels. Because he's so intelligent.
Tell him to send in his thing, his form. We can get him on now. I mean, we can get him on a couple things now.
Yeah, I can start.
Not a problem. Yeah, I'll follow up with you on that. Yeah.
And his intelligence of it, like, because I'm on him, and, like, I got the audio panel last year, and they were talking to me about it, and then, like, all I was thinking of was they were asking questions. And I'm sitting there, like, answering the questions the best I know. But John can do, like, these deep dives into it. Like,
yeah, he's been a part of several music videos that have been in this film festival. Yeah, he belongs here.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's definitely going to love it, man. He's going to have a hell of a time. It's definitely the kind of space that he likes to be
we'll
in
follow.
With creative people, other technical
yeah, we'll
people. He's definitely
yeah.
a tech guy behind anything that I do. Like,
oh, yeah, he knows
put,
the stuff. Yeah.
Oh, man. Like, he has to work with me and make me sound good. He definitely has, like, the little button that I'm like, push the button that makes me sound good. And he pushes the button that makes me sound good. It's just
you
a lot
sound
of buttons.
Good all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, that man puts the polish on it, man. He's worked with me so long. We were working on the film. And I think everybody thought I was pissed off at the film. And John looks at me and goes, I know when you're focused. I was like, yeah, well, you've been working with me for like 12 years, so I'm or longer. You've been working with me
mm-hmm.
forever, but that's why I am. It's like when I get passionate about something, when I get focused about something, it's like tunnel vision. I'm on that thing, and so
right.
driven to get it, you know. And that's how that we took on this film. It's like I saw the opportunity to get certain shots and stuff. I'm like, let's do it. Well, we don't know how to do that. I don't care. Do it.
Let's do it anyway.
Right.
That's what you do. And you do it again, you do it again, you do it again until you get it right. We had this one continuous shot that we were outside. And I came up with this shot, and John loved it. He wanted to do it. But I felt so bad for this guy. Because I'm sitting there with this big-ass camera running around in a half circle trying to get this really creative one continuous shot where it started behind Steph. It went from the car, started behind Steph. He had to run in a half-moon circle to get in front of her to get the front view of her, and then follow her up the stairs and go through these rails and do this whole – he had to be a slider, a tripod, everything all in one just by doing this all handheld. And we had to do this like 11 times, I think it was, or something like that, because when you're shooting outside, you all done a movie where it was outside. You're playing beat, like, because you're running out of daylight.
Mm-hmm.
And he did like three of them. He stopped and put the camera down. He was like, shit. I was like, yeah, filmmaking's fun, ain't it? I'm like, let's just do all kinds of crazy stuff. And then he comes up with a shot, a continuous shot, once we get inside of the apartment that we were shooting at. And he's like, I want to do this. I'm like, oh, I created a monster. So, and that's how we ended up with me and John. You just like end up with all these weird creative shots. And I knew it was going to be a really cool experience when the first shot that we did of the whole thing was this slider shot that goes back and forth between the dialogue that we're having. And we're in two different rooms. And, but you're shooting in each room of the angle going back and forth on the slider. And we looked back at it and I was like, the first shot that we did was a Hitchcock style shot.
Nice.
This is going to be one weird film. So the camera is just as much an actor in this film as the actors are.
Looking forward
to it. He came up with a really cool original concept, really cool original script, and we did a really cool original thing. And
very fun.
And it's something that we're all kind of proud of. We're proud that we've actually succeeded at it. Because none of us really knew 100% what we were doing.
And
you
got to get real creative on a shoestring budget.
And that's what
I wanted
to do.
Yeah, that's okay.
I'm not here to make Marvel movies. That's not what I want to do. I'll leave Marvel movies.
Thank God. Okay, I won't get into it. But yeah, they're not my favorite.
You know,
not a big fan.
It's getting to the point of like it's so overdone at this point. No films being made, and anything that they remake at this point is horrible.
Good. Yeah.
But there's so much more original stories at this point on the independent level. It's like Terrifier. Mm. Like when some big and horrible.
Oh yeah.
Terrifier, I got to meet Damien Leone and David Howard Thornton at the last convention I was at. And they're really, really, really kind people. And I did an art. I've never done like an in-costume photo. This is how much of a fangirl I am. I did the in-costume photo out with Art, the glasses that he wore in Terrifier 2. I had a T-shirt on, hat on. I don't even do this for bands. I'm one of those people that I'm not wearing a band shirt to their show. So I'm all fangirled out, taking my picture and stuff. But anyway, the practical effects they did in that film, I think it was like 25. It was a horribly small budget for a film that they shot the first one on. It's an amazing film. It just showed that a group of people can make a really good movie.
Oh, yeah. Holly and I watch great indie stuff all the time and blows away a lot of the crap that comes out in the studios.
Yep.
Yeah, it's far, far better.
Well, Disney kind of takes everything and messes it. I mean, look what Disney did to Star Wars. So,
oh God! Don't get me. Oh, there's another one. I won't rant about that either. But about that either.
The original three are masterpieces. After that, man, I can't stand them. I mean,
just awful.
But this last rendition of it was just Well, it's like with Michael Bay doing Ninja Turtles. It wasn't a bad film, but Ninja Turtles. Because I'm a big Ninja Turtle fan. Ninja Turtles is a dude in a puppet costume doing karate. Not CGI. So if it don't have some dude, kung fu, in a puppet costume, I don't want to watch it.
Right.
So that's the hard shit.
Well, they don't make movies that are for the fans anymore. It's the company that got it was the folks that made the new Super Mario Brothers movie. That film was made for fans, and they got it, and that's why they did
great.
Yeah, but everything else has just been it's like I don't know what they're thinking.
Nothing good coming out anymore. Like I don't really even and it sucks because I like going to the movies, but I don't really go to the movies anymore. I don't really care to watch anything new that comes. I'd rather try to find something on Shudder or Netflix or something that's actually independent on a streaming service to check out. I find a lot of really good films that way. There's this one.
That's what we do. That's what Holly and I do. Hey. We look around. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Devon, there's this one film, and I introduced it to Moon. And he already knows. He's probably in the chat room going, oh, man, he's really going to mention it. And we started out hating this movie. I think we secretly hate it. I'm pretty sure he still doesn't like it. But it's a really bad film. But I referenced it so much when we were making, when we were shooting screenshots. And I looked at Steph and I was like, oh my God, I actually like the movie. And the movie's called The Farm. And it's like a college film. The acting is completely horrible. But the audio in it and the shots in it are completely amazing. But it just goes to show you that, like, these independent films can have some type of grasp on you and you don't realize it. So you got to give the independent world a chance. And that goes with anything from independent authors,
sure,
to music.
Absolutely.
To everything. Do that deep dive. All those people that are griping about,
sure,
Hollywood or mainstream music always just carbon copies of everything and they keep releasing the same thing. Go into the independent world.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yes.
Reach in.
Yeah.
You will find stuff.
More than ever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and technology has come to the point where the production value on independent stuff has risen so much that, yeah, you're not going to drop off far, you know, from the studio world if they've done it well. I mean, yeah, there's good well-made stuff out there. Absolutely.
Well, speaking of technology aspect of it, John, I was over there and we started sifting through and getting into the editing process of the short. And he pulled up this thing, and it's a full CGI package of pre-made CGI from, like, muzzle flashes for guns, blood packs, rain, lightning, all this stuff that you just click and drag over top of your video. And it places it in the background and stuff, just like Photoshop. It's just like adding layers on Photoshop video.
Sure.
I was
like,
wait a minute, because we don't know anything about CGI. And it's pretty much a whole other program. And I was like, we can do muzzle flashes with guns? He was like, yeah. I was like, well, we're doing stuff with guns. That's my only, like, hang-up about doing anything with guns is you can't get them to look real. But, yeah, man, like, there's so much stuff getting developed. And it's the same way in the music world. Like, I haven't used a real drummer on a song in 5 years.
Right.
It's all just been digitally done. So it's possible. That's the big thing with, like, people that are interested in being, like, a singer-songwriter and stuff. You can literally do it yourself. You don't even need a band anymore. It sucks. It takes the human element out of it.
Right.
A lot of people aren't that. But if you're looking to just do it on your own, because that's where I'm at in life, is, like, I don't want to deal with the band drama and stuff like that. I just want to make good music. So,
right,
you know, if the technology has at least – did something good for humanity and made it to where, like, the independent person can do it themselves. Other than, like, AI art,
right,
that's pissing me off. But, because
yeah,
AI art is,
yeah,
well, AI is going to kill us all, but,
unfortunately.
They're using, like, Journey or Wonder Art and stuff and creating art with it and calling it art, and I'm like, what? Like,
right.
You know, and that's like the NTF thing. Like, I don't know if even that's still a thing. It was a thing for a minute. Or the NFTs.
Yeah, they're
and,
still
NFTs.
Yeah. They're
still
going on. See, I hate that. I like wall art. I like something I can hang on my wall. And
oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a call. Yeah.
I love tangible art. Yeah, absolutely. That's why I'm a vinyl guy, too.
Yeah.
I love tangible stuff.
I will work on getting a vinyl made just so I can have, so I can be in
your
collection.
Shut up. So I'll shut up. Yes.
You've got art on our walls. A lot of your art hangs on our walls.
Yeah, you're hung up on our walls here. Yeah, you've got art on our walls. You haven't seen it here in person.
It's either in the office around my desk, or it's in my bathroom here outside of my bedroom, or I've got three of your poems with artwork in the living room above my Raven.
The dining room.
Yeah.
Dining room.
Oh, yeah, the dining room. I've got you're all over.
Yeah, you're all over the house.
That's one of the things I really want to bring up in a panel this year is, like, you got to think of your degree of success. Money is success for a businessman. what you just said about having my art and stuff like that displayed and stuff, that's success for an artist. That's success for a creative, is people actually appreciating the stuff that you do. And that's people got to stop thinking in the way of like, well, am I making money at it? Well, then I'm successful. Are you doing it?
Right.
Is people enjoying it? Is people liking what you're doing? Whether it's 10 people or 10,000 people, are people actually liking what you do? Do you enjoy doing it? Does it make you happy? That's successful.
Right.
Sitting there and not doing it, that's failure. Sitting there and not doing your art, not putting your book out, not putting your art out, your music out, your film out, whatever it is, then that's failure. Not if you make money off of it. Not if you make a profit off of it. So many creatives get hindered I've noticed this being in the creative world. So many creative people get hindered by a price tag.
Yeah.
And they get stopped. If I change anything in anybody's mind, that's what I want to change. Never let that keep you from doing what you love.
Right.
Because, like with a song, man, you never know what you're going through, who's going to put on your music. One of my greatest stories I always tell is there was this kid a long time ago, and this is when I was first coming up. I was in my early 20s. We were on our first album, my metal band, One With Misery. We were on our first album cycle. And this kid came up to me and goes, I forget what song it was. The song kept me from committing suicide. And he had this really heartfelt moment with me and stuff like that, and I hugged him. And that was probably one of the coolest experiences of my life, is that I actually helped somebody not in their life because of one of my songs. That helped
right.
me through
wow.
that.
Wow. That's
and
amazing.
That's, yeah.
Hands
down. Oh, yeah, and far just, beyond sales or any crap like that. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, and I've had different experiences like that through my life. A friend of mine's mom, her mom died. And we had this song called Rain on the first poetry album. And a song I absolutely hate. That's another thing. It's like this song, I went through a Goo Goo Dolls phase.
I like Goo Goo Dolls.
Johnny Resnick
yeah.
is very underrated, and he's an amazing writer. Iris is probably one of the best songs ever written.
Amen.
And so
I'm there with you.
I wrote this really up-tempo-y song with like a G chord, and it's all in major chords and stuff, and it's happy, which is probably why I don't like it. But anyway, she loved that song. And when her mother passed away, she listened to that song on repeat constantly to get herself through the death of her mom. And every time she would come out to show, because it was my guitar player's mom, and every time she'd come out to show, she'd yell out that she wanted to hear it. We had plumb forgot how to play it because we never played it after I recorded it. So I was just like, it was an album filler song. But she absolutely loved that song. So just because you don't really like it doesn't mean somebody won't. That still
right.
might help some others. So definitely put out anything that you create, whether it's a B-side to a thing or it's just a short essay or it's a short story that you just put online. You never know who you're going to influence, who's going to experience a different emotion or anything from that. And that's literally what I try to push in the creative world, is just be an artist. Don't worry about anything else. Don't try to be like this artist or be like this artist. Just be. Be what you
just
are.
Be.
Do,
nice.
Do what you enjoy.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Jason. We're rolling up on the point that Blog Talk Radio is going to almost cut us off here. We got a couple more minutes. We've got plenty of bonus material tonight. It's been such an awesome conversation with you, but I do want to give you the tell folks how to connect with you so they can follow your work and upcoming events and releases and all that good stuff. YouTube channels, anything.
You got JWA TV on YouTube, which where you can see all the music videos. Instagram, you can connect with me personally. TikTok, I'll eventually get something up there, but go follow me. The more followers I get on TikTok, the more likely chance
that
I'm going to come up with. I'm going to come up with some cool content. Like, I'm going to do the adventures of Frederick the Sloth or something. Something will happen. So
that'd be great on there. That would do well.
So definitely follow me. Give me those likes. Give me the Instagram follows and stuff, or just shoot me up for a chat want me to read something or listen to something, I'm always all about it, man.
Got it. Well, thank you, Jason. I'm going to go ahead and just say that, yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you. Definitely want to have you back sooner than later. Looking forward to seeing you in July, and I'll turn it over to you and Holly. You and Holly can close this one out, but, man, it's been a great show. Thanks, man.
Later.
Thank you, Jay. And
thanks,
I'll see you next month.
All right.
Well,
talk to you later.
All right, later. Anyway, y'all join us next Wednesday, same time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Another great host. Not another great host. Well, we might have a new host. Who knows? Maybe a new co-host. You never know about us or what we're doing.
Oh,
always
Holly.
Fun in the live world. Always fun in the live world. But you never know who pops in for a co-host. I'm just letting you know ahead. But, yeah, join us next week. Another great guest, another great chat. And rest of the week. Have a great weekend. Be creative. Later.